These lessons are directed to us as a church. Elders is part of it. Ministers is part of it. Bible school teachers are part of it. But we've got some dipstick preachers who will tell you that the teaching of the Bible is not cultural. My suggestion is you need to go back to school. Charles, can you divorce a woman that you've never married? Then explain Mary. Mary was not the wife of Joseph, and yet he proposed to put her away. First time the word divorce is used. How can he do that? You don't understand it until you look at the word betrothed. A betrothal or an engagement during the days of Jesus were the same as marriage. You were to keep yourselves pure. When we understand that, we understand how that can happen. Goodness gracious me. Our young girls and our boys down here, they start dating, and then next thing you know, next week they're someone else. How does that happen? Sometimes you even get engaged, and after engagement you realize this is not what I want, and you find someone else. Things are cultural. Let me see if we can go back here just a second. All right, around the crescent, this is called the Bible crescent, all the way around. From the last book of the Old Testament, which is the book of Hezekiah, you have 430 years. And so by the time Jesus gets here, you've basically got one language, you've got one currency, you've got one highway, preparing the way for the spreading of the gospel. And so if Christianity comes into, you start down here, come up here and point. You start down here in Jerusalem, we are in the book of Acts chapter 2, Christianity started. By Acts chapter 7, if you will go around the top of the ocean right there, at the top up there, you have a city by the name of Antioch. And so Christianity between chapters 2 and chapter 7 changed from a Jewish audience that were very selfish and preached the gospel, notice, only to the Jews, to a Gentile capital where they evangelized. And so if Christianity came in during the time of the Romans, and then went from Jewish to Gentile, do you think there are some cultural problems? There are cultural problems between the North and the South. And here's the way it is. Why from the book of Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 11 verse 27, where the Bible says they were called Christians first at Antioch, 13 years before they took on the name Christian. Why? I know the answer. You go look at it yourself. But here's another deal. One day they got pianos and organs and they're fussing about who's the best player, the piano player or the organ player. And whoever's driving the chariot with the piano on, taking it to Jerusalem so they could sing with a piano, don't you think they were happy when the Bible says nothing about instrumental music and he can toss it off the chariot and just go on his way singing? Yes. All right. Americans drive on what side of the road? Are you sure? We drive on the right. Where's the steering wheel? The left. All right, we want to do some mission work and we want to go to New Zealand. Guess what? You're on this side. And where's the steering wheel? And you have to do that overnight. You cannot get off the plane and not have a car. And so you go from the left side to the right side. When we go around a corner, we don't stay close. We go over here. When you're driving in 100 kilometers, 60 miles an hour is the speed limit in New Zealand, and you want to make a left turn on a main highway, you cannot hold traffic up. You have to pull over, let all the other traffic by, and when they're gone, then you make your left turn. Not only that, if you've got five cars behind you, they can ticket you for holding up traffic. And all that happens overnight. The purpose of that illustration is simple. The church goes from Judaism, worshiping on a Saturday, the Sabbath, where you've got a priest that comes in and makes the sacrifices, until a time, no more priest, no more sacrifice, no more trips to Mecca. It changes just like that. Do you think there's going to be confusion? You imagine if next week we said there'll be no singing, this fellow right down here be chomping at the bits. We're going to have singing whether it's authorized or not. We've been doing something for so long that things change, and they changed quickly, and it caused confusion. And then you've got your charter church members who have been here. They were born in the Church of Christ. They actually have a reserved seat in the church. And by the way, in early church history, you could buy or rent a pew, and they would put a plaque there, and that was your seat. And if you sat up front in the best seat, you were the most prominent in the church. Don't you think that caused problems? Absolutely. There'd be no division among us, no partiality. And so there are drastic changes. You've got a baby that's born. I saw you in the ditch. You were bloody. No one had cut your cord. No one had salted it. I came along and I took care of you, abandoned baby. That's Ezekiel 16. I spread my skirt over you. That's nice. Going to keep her warm. No. That is a synonym for God marrying Israel. He had a bride. We begin this language of family. And so culture has so much to do with the Bible. Now, from the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 3, during this time of mass confusion, the Hebrew widows were being neglected. Cultural problem. Hatred between Jews and Gentiles. We'll feed the Jews first. And so the church was told, you select these men that we may appoint. There is a difference between selection and appointment. And the problem was, in the appointment you have but one man. That's all that's needed. Our elders ought to appoint. The congregation ought to select. That's the privilege. Whom you're willing to put yourself under and who you're willing to serve. Now, we've looked at the idea of men being mature. And we're not going to belabor. We're not going to look at each particular characteristic. This is not a checklist of men who want to be elders and desire. And we said last week, this is something that they do. They yearn for, they prepare for, and they've got all these things in place. That is proof of how they can shepherd and manage. There's times that I can be a shepherd to my family. There's times that I can be a teacher. There are times that I can be an overseer of my family. Husbands, you are the shepherd of your family. One of the jobs of a shepherd is to lead. Husbands, you are the spiritual leaders of your home. Take it seriously. And so they must be mature. And I have up there, they must be readers. Brethren, there's nothing worse than a stagnant stream. Nothing worse than stagnant elders, stagnant members, stagnant preachers who don't have a natural passion or desire to reach out and to be the best that they can be. And so, there ought to be a passion there. Now, there are six basic responsibilities for an elder. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I hope you've got your Bibles, and I hope you enjoy reading your Bibles and studying along together. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 17. And two of these are found here. In verse 17, he says, concerning the elder, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. An elder who serves well has scriptural authority to be paid. There's honor number one. Honor number two is that they have the right to be praised. And Paul says when you've got an elder that does well, he has the right to be paid. And I'll show you in just a minute why I believe that. And he also has the joy of being praised. And I want to suggest that you praise our elders more. We're not talking about false praise. We're talking about men that have our souls in their hands and in their heart. And many times they have to make decisions that absolutely break them. They agonize over it. And so they are worthy of our praise. Especially those that labor in preaching and teaching. And so an elder must be and must have the responsibility of preaching and teaching. The word apt, the aptitude to teach, is not so much the idea of teaching a Bible class on Sunday. When Don and I moved to our first full-time work at Whitson Place, we had two elders, and they were using, what's the first century Christianity or something? What? Gospel Advocate. And so, Howard was teaching upstairs and Lee was teaching downstairs. They were teaching exactly the same thing. And I asked them, why do you do that? They said, we've got to be apt to teach, so we're teaching. Same reason when we moved to our second work in Bible class and in the book of Acts chapter 6. It's not meat. We shouldn't be waiting on tables. We need to be preaching. And one of the elders asked, I didn't know that elders couldn't wait on the Lord's table. And the other elder's wife said publicly in class, that is the most arrogant thing or ignorant thing that I have ever heard. And as the teacher, I just stood back and I thought, let the war begin. And it did. Apt to teach leans itself far more to the idea of teaching, correcting, rebuking the gainsayer. The one who comes in privately here and teaches people wrong. The elders are to teach. They're to convict those gainsayers. Preaching was done more by elders than what it was by preachers or evangelists. And the shepherds there are to protect. If God took this child, Israel, and cared for it and hurt over it, elders need to protect the sheep. That Christ gave His own blood for, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. But also, elders are to be effective prayers. If any among you is sick, let him call for the elders, that they might pray over them and anoint them with oil. The oil, you can debate that all the whatever. That's not the issue here. If an elder comes out and dabbles a little bit of olive oil on your forehead or whatever, it's not going to do anything, even though that oil was medicinal. It is a point of contact. Let me ask you, when you pray and someone else is there, what seems to be your posture? What do? Most of the time you grab a person's hand, will you not? Why? It's a point of contact. And so elders are to be men who are efficient and effective at praying. At 1 o'clock in the morning, if you want the prayers of our elders, you call Marion. It doesn't say call the preacher at 1 o'clock in the morning, but call the elders. And they'll come and they'll pray. They're the shepherds. And so they must be effective at this. Their responsibility is to determine congregational or church's stance on things. How many of our churches have gone off in instrumental music? And personally, I think instrumental music, these are my convictions, has no biblical authority in the New Testament. So let's just say that someone decides that's what they want to do. What do our elders do? In the book of Acts 15, again, a problem with Jew and Gentile, the eating of meat that had been offered to an idol. Circumcision and the covering of the head. And the church had to take a stance on this. And so our elders are responsible for where we stand on the barometer. What stance this church is going to take. We find in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, one reason that elders were given along with prophets and the others was for the edifying or the equipping of the saints. Now, what we find in Crete, you've got a congregation that is usually between 2 to 4 years old. And Paul says something is lacking. Timothy, you appoint elders in every city. And here in America, we can go 50 and 60 years without elders. There's something wrong. Our elders this year is one of the goals was to mentor males. It is the church's responsibility to help mentor men. It may be that you become an elder. It may not. I mean, I look at our men and I don't see sergeant stripes. You know, if you're a deacon, you're a corporal, but if you're an elder, you're a sergeant. Look at my stripes. I see towels. They're the greatest servants among us. And so, elders were giving for the equipping of the saints. In California, forgive me, they've got some nutty people. Every time there is a fire, houses are burned. A lot of them are burned because of a law that you cannot cut down scratch trees. You cannot cut down trees in that are close to your house. Firemen, what's that called when you cut everything between the woods and the house? Anybody? A break. They were having a burn over there at Lake Whittington yesterday. and they burn things for a distance so the fire cannot get nor consume the house. So let's just pass a law that we can't touch anything right up to the house. That's why their houses burn. How do I know that? I watched a documentary on it, and the fireman said, this is why the houses burn. So part of the work of our elders is to get that burn zone there so no one can touch us and hurt us. And they keep that area clean. Now, part of the eldership rubs society the wrong way. We've got this nonsense now in the Church of Christ that if a woman can pass the tray from left to right, why can't she do it back to front? That's how ridiculous we are. Elders is a male position, not a female. That's not because that we hate women. It's because this is what God said. He is to be what? The husband of one wife. Thinking about that just off my head, Mike, that scares me. Because you've got a woman now with a female husband. The Bible says that the role of an elder belongs to a married man. And the church is a Christostrophe, not a democracy. You don't vote on things. Well, if I don't get my way, I'm leaving. Then you have no concept whatsoever of a communal body or the church, if that's the attitude. But also, the church is not to be run by an elder, but by elders. I have a preacher friend of mine who preaches at West Palm Beach in Florida. He is an older man. And when an elder comes to him and says, I want you to do thus, 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 first thing he'll do, is that your wish or is that the desire of the elders? Congregations are run by elders. Very quickly, from the book of Titus chapter 1, he is to be blameless. Best way to explain that, let's just say that an accusation is brought against Mark. You throw your mud up on a white wall. The meaning here is that the mud does not stick. It has no validity. But does it leave a stain? Yes, it will leave a stain. And so an elder is to be a Teflon-coated wall. Things slide off because they are not true. Now, he is to be a one-wifed man. We have an American version of this that is totally wrong to what the Bible means. The church being established in the Roman Empire, where they were polygamists. If you don't know what that is, sister wives. I can have a lot of... Isn't it funny, Steve? You got men that can have a lot of wives, but you don't see any wives that have got a couple of dozen husbands. What's wrong with that? And so Paul is saying that he is not to be a polygamist. It does not mean that he's been married only once. That is incorrect to the interpretation of the Scriptures. He is to be a one-eyed man. That eye is on the woman, and that woman is his wife. Culture is behind this. He is to be a man who is committed and dedicated to his wife. Children, obedient children, the best way to do that, he does not have a prodigal son. An elder with a prodigal son is disqualified. If the child is not faithful to, notice the qualifications. It is in the family qualifications. If his children are not faithful to his lead. And I believe that a godly father will lead his children to Christ. But I believe that the children must be obedient to the Father's rule. That is the primary meaning of 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4. He's not to be overbearing, or he's not to be the Lord. He is not the one with the sergeant's stripes. But he is one who tenderly takes care of God's children. Not quick-tempered, not a striker. And we love this one. I've never seen him drunk. I'll give you a suggestion. You want to be an elder, you leave that stuff alone, period. If you were to be an example, I'll show you the danger. You go to an eatery here, you go to a major restaurant, and you let some members walk in and see you with a glass of wine or a beer, you have hurt your influence. You're to influence people. And so, it says drunkenness, but he also says that you're an example, and you're going to have to make the choice. Not pursuing dishonest gain. There we go back to an elder who is only an elder because he gets paid. It's the same as a preacher. If this is nothing more than a position to me, then I'm a hireling. This ought to be a passion. First thing you talk about when you interview me as an elder or as a preacher, if the deal revolved around money, you shouldn't have hired me. Okay? You believe that? If that's all I talk about, then that's dishonest gain. Love for that which is, and the hospitable, the being hospitable there is again to strangers. Well, they're not very hospitable. I haven't been over there to their house for lunch. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being hospitable to parents or to strangers. They're to be self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined, and that they hold the message. And they're trustworthy. Usually when I get a letter from elders, and I've received several of them, with this idea of instrumental music, we have discussed this and we have studied it for a year. I know exactly where it's going. Same thing about women deacons, women elders. Encourage sound doctrine. Sound means healthy. And brethren, when you put a hole in the dam, it's coming and it's going to break. Don't do it. Just don't start that. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you've got something against an elder, that can be an elder or an older person, you do it with at least two or three witnesses. I think this is God protecting our great shepherds. I want to close with this idea. In the very beginning, each congregation had the plurality of elders. That's scriptural. And then we go through the Roman Empire that had a bishop over a congregation or over multiple congregations. And then we go into the Protestant movement. And in the Protestant movement, they opened it up for laity in the board. Members. Brethren, this congregation is led, protected, and guided by shepherds. We have great elders. I believe that, and I believe that with all my heart. They are men that I see as striving to be the best that they can be. And that's not always easy. Sometimes, within the sheep, they won't say it, but I will, you've got goats. You got some people that never, ever will submit to the authority that our elders carry from God's word. And they're going to buck the system the whole way. I just have one piece of advice. Find somewhere else to do your bucking. But we are a family. We are a family that is made up of a community. I don't look at myself and think what's best for me. We look at the congregation and we say, what is best for the congregation? And I have a particular role, but it's not individualism. Praise our elders. pray for our elders. And let's do it in such a way that when our elders give an account to God, it will be a good one on my behalf. This morning, God has a pattern. We are His sheep. We are His family. Christ is the head of this body. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're not in His family. There's only one way that the Bible gives to get into Christ. Revelation 14, 13, blessed are those that die in the Lord. You cannot die in the Lord unless you live in the Lord. And the only way to get into the Lord is to be baptized into Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6. Outside of that, no hope. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. This morning, if you'd like to become a part of His body, I beg and I pray that you will do that this morning before you leave. That you will be baptized for the remission of your sins. The baptistry is ready. We've got clothes that are ready. And if you're more of a goat than you are a sheep, you need heart surgery. You need to give your heart to God Almighty and let Him do some surgery on it so that we are the sheep of His sheepfold. Well, together we stand and while we sing.